And here's your host, Dr. Tony Beam.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Thanks for listening to the program. Hour number two is here. This is Tony Beam. I'm the Director of Church and Community Engagement for the Tim Brazier Campus of North Greenville University, where Christ makes the difference and where we are training transformational students for the church and society. We want to take this hour to welcome a special guest to the program today. He is chairman of the House Operations Management Committee, a member of the Ways and Means Committee in the South Carolina House. He represents District 27, and in his spare time, he leaps tall buildings with a single bound. Ladies and gentlemen, Representative Gary Smith, how you doing?
Good morning, Tony. Good morning. I forgot to add that I also teach political science at North Greenville University.
How could I have forgotten that? That's terrible.
Of all people,
it wouldn't remind. Yes, he does teach. He's one of our professors that teaches. I can't think of anybody better to do that either, by the way, my friend. We appreciate you, all your support.
Thanks,
at North
Tony.
Greenville, including that. Listen, you got an editorial piece published in the Washington Times today, and it's talking about education, particularly, obviously,
yes,
in South Carolina. And I wanted to let you talk about it. I want to talk about a couple of things that you said here. One is that the nature of work is changing, and that the kinds of good jobs and good wages that used to be available for a lifetime departed this country for points south and far east long ago. Now, President Trump has been saying, you're talking about, of course, steady manufacturing jobs. And President Trump has been saying lately that those manufacturing jobs are coming back to the United States. But what would be your response in terms of the longevity of manufacturing jobs being the bedrock of our economy again?
Let me for South Carolina. Right now we have 68,000 jobs in South Carolina that are going unfilled because we do not have a skilled workforce to fill those jobs. 68,000.
And is that primarily tech? Are those technical jobs that require specialized training? Is that why or are those jobs that we just don't have the people that we've graduated to be able to take the jobs?
We don't have the people that we have graduated that have the skills to take the jobs.
Right.
And that's the sad fact. We have very low unemployment because there's a great deal of competition for employees right now by employers. But one of the things that employers are telling us, and the statistics are bearing it out, is that those that we are graduating still do not have the skills necessary to take those jobs. Let me give you an example. Yesterday I was talking at lunch to officials with the concrete ready mix company, and one of the things that one of our company owners from Greenville was saying is that he has positions open right now that will start someone who graduates from high school but has the skills necessary to get a CDL and can pass the drug test, that are available that pays $44,000 a year starting salary.
Yeah. That's
now,
that's
not a difficult thing to take and to do. Greenville Tech has a program that you can go to get your CDL license there. It's not very long. It's not a very difficult program. But that's one of the areas. We have a lot of need for lab technicians. We have a lot of need for people with computer skills and programming skills that they're going unfulfilled right now. And that's a big problem for us.
Yeah. So what is the answer?
And how do we fix that?
Yeah. And what is the answer? Because I know you've been working hard along with the rest of the House and the Senate on education priorities.
Right.
So what are some of those?
Well, right now, what we know is that we're 24th in the country in the amount of dollars we pay per student for education in South Carolina. We're in the top half of what we pay for education in South Carolina. But what we also know is that we're dead last We're no longer behind. Mississippi's no longer behind us. Mississippi has passed us now.
Right.
And they said, after they did, that they're not looking back. They're looking to take a move forward. They made great strides in their education reform position. They're spending smarter, not spending more. We're continuing right now to take and to spend more and not spend smarter. One of the smart things that I think that we need to take and do is to change the focus. Right now, the focus is on funding organizations and school systems, not on funding and putting the monies in the hands of parents and children for their education. The focus is not on the student in their education. That's what's got to fundamentally change. And with ESAs, or education scholarship accounts, or education savings accounts, at will. Think about it this way. What would you think if you had a debit card that South Carolina put in your hand and said, okay, Tony Bean, for your children, here's your money. You go spend it the best way you know how and what will fit and what will be best for your child, whether it's if you have a child that's on the autism spectrum, you maybe need ABA therapy, or you need some physicals therapy, or you need some specific therapy for dyslexia or something like that. Here's that card. Here's that money. You go spend it the best way you can for your child and for their education. Instead of what we're doing now, which is trying to figure out how much money we're going to put into school systems. That's what we're talking about. That's a fundamental change where it puts in the hands of parents to decide what is best for the education for their child.
Yeah,
what meets their specific needs.
You've got a statement in here in your editorial that says, we believe, and there's plenty of data to back it up, having choice in elementary and secondary education produces better outcomes. Test scores are higher, students perform better in other ways and seem, or believe it or not, to get more from the experience because they enjoy it more. So you're saying that that school choice and parental involvement is, and let me ask you, are those components that, have you looked at Mississippi to see if that's the way that they've been able to pass South Carolina and move up in the education food chain? Was that a component in Mississippi?
It was. And a good friend of mine, who is the Speaker of the House in Mississippi, and I talked about that and what they have done, and it has been a huge success. It's been a success in Florida. It's been a success in Arizona and other places that have done this. It puts priorities where they should be on the student and on the student's education instead of funding a system.
Right. Well, what kind of changes would that mean? Have there been? I'm sure there's pushback to this, Gary. I mean, I'm sure that
tremendously pushback. Tremendous pushback. No doubt about that.
You've never because
parents aren't smart enough to take and to do this.
Right.
They we know better than they do. It's what's best for their child. All of those sorts of things come into it and play into it and are being said. We know that's going to take and happen as a part as we go through the debate and discussion about this. But we've got to keep the focus on the child and what's best for the child, because what they try and turn it around to, where you're not properly funding the system in education now. Well, the data doesn't prove that. The data proves that we're funding the system better than most states in the country are, but we're getting the worst results. And what are they doing different than we are to get better results? This is one of the things that they're doing that is different.
Yeah.
And we've got to take and do some of those things. We've got to, again, spend smarter, not spend more. And what we keep hearing from the system is you need to spend more.
Yeah.
Well, the definition of insanity is continuing to do the same thing over and over again and getting the same results and wondering why. That's what we have been doing.
Yeah. Well, what is the timetable for all of this? I know these proposals are moving through the House and the Senate, and they seem to be a priority. I mean, House Speaker Jay Lucas, I heard him speak at First
Yes.
Monday back before the session began, and he made it very clear. He cited some of the statistics that you've cited and that you mentioned in the editorial, and he said that this was going to be the priority legislatively this year. Do you think we're going to get something done? Will we get something passed?
I think that we will support Speaker Lucas's bill also. I think it makes some fundamental changes to the system itself. But again, we've got to take and to place the focus on the student, not the system. And that's unfortunate. And, you know, that's one of the problems that I see with the bill, is it puts too much focus on the system and reforming the system, and not as much on the child itself. That's the fundamental difference. I like what he's doing. I think it makes some good structural changes to the system that needs to be done to give school districts, traditional public school districts, more flexibility and the opportunity for innovation. That's something that they need to have. I support that. But I think that we have an opportunity here, too, when there's such a push for increasing teacher salaries. And I'm not saying that teacher salaries don't need to be increased. I think that we have fallen behind in those salaries. But you're not going to take and get there in 1 year. It's going to have to be something done over multiple years to get there, because you just can't do everything. We have not funded salary increases for state employees for over 2 years while we've been funding teacher increases. We've got to address our state employees also. But we also have to take and make a fundamental change to the system, not only to give flexibility and allow for innovation, but also to have accountability and have the means at the end to make and change those systems and those districts that are not functioning appropriately and not working.
Well, you know, we talked a little bit at the beginning about President Trump saying manufacturing jobs are coming back, and he has brought back, I think, I forget how many 100,000 manufacturing jobs have actually been returned to the United States since he's been in the White House. But the thing about it is, even if manufacturing jobs do become a factor in the workforce, a major factor, the nature of those jobs is changing because of technology. So we're still going to have a high level of education, and our education system has got to address and make sure that they're preparing our graduates for, even if they're going to go to work at a manufacturing job, their knowledge of computers and robotics is going to have to be high if they're going to get employed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's critical that happens.
Well, listen, thanks for taking some time with us. One last question before we go, different subject. Do you think we're going to get any pro-life legislation passed this year through the House and the Senate? I know we've got competing personhood bills in the House and the Senate, but we also have a heartbeat bill, which is informed consent that would allow women the opportunity to hear the baby's heartbeat before they actually have an abortion. Do you see any of these pro-life measures making it actually getting to a vote?
Yes, I do. And I think there's going to be a concerted push to take and make that happen. We will see what happens from there. But I think the heartbeat bill certainly has a tremendous amount of support,
yeah,
and likelihood that it will get addressed and passed.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Gary. We appreciate it.
Sure.
Appreciate your leadership down in South Carolina as chairman of the House Operations and Management Committee, and also working on the Ways and Means Committee. Great editorial today. Congratulations on getting in the Washington Times. That's good work, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you, Tony. That means a lot to me coming from you, and I appreciate the opportunity to come and speak with you this morning.
Yes, sir. Have a great day. God bless you.
You do the same. God bless you.
Yep. Professor Gary Smith at North Greenville University, who also serves in the South Carolina House and does a great job at both. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Stay with us.
And here's your host, Dr. Tony Bean.
All right. Welcome back. Just got off the phone with a friend of mine from over around the Powdersville area. He was telling me about the day of mourning that's coming up this Saturday. It's the first time I've heard a word about it, but it's an event that's going to be taking place in New York. It is, let me get down here to the bottom and I can tell, yeah, the Day of Mourning Service, February 23rd, Empire State Plaza Convention Center in Albany, New York. And it's going to be from 1 to 4. And people are going to be there. The purpose of it is to bring attention to the fact that the state of New York voted to expand abortion access right up to the time of birth, those, you know, abortion access right up to the time of birth, rights to that moment. So they're asking people to, on that day, wear black, don't shop, close businesses, and repent for abortion. And the speakers in New York are going to be the Benham Brothers, which we've had them at North Greenville a couple of times, and they've been on the program here, of course. Elizabeth Johnston, Justin Reeder, who is Elizabeth Johnston's known as the activist mommy, and Justin Reeder is from Love Life Charlotte. He's the founder of that group. David Harris Jr., who's an author, speaker, and leader in the Black conservative movement. Phil King and Cody Ray Lee are going to be the worship leaders. And Blythe Mullen is a little girl who's an eight-year-old that was rescued from abortion. So that's taking place in Albany. Now, there may be, you know, they're talking about a few people getting together like this Saturday to maybe have a rally or wear black and not shop. I think we're a little too late to get something done, it seems to me. In just a couple of days, and to get the word out about it. Maybe we could plan something like this for later in the upstate, that we could get more people involved, maybe get some of the churches involved and mm-hmm. some of the nonprofits and so forth. But in any event, this event is taking place in Albany, New York.
Well, I heard that there are some places around the country that are getting together, and they're live streaming the actual thing that's going on in New York. So I don't know of anything in our immediate area that's doing that, but I do know in Charlotte and some places they are doing that, and people are getting together to kind of join that way.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to promote this. I have not heard about it. I mean, I'm fairly plugged in the pro-life community here in South Carolina, and I've not been hearing any discussion about it. But I mean, for us here in the state. There may be some locations other than here in the upstate, and there may be a few people that are planning on doing something. If you know about this, and you know of something that's going to be happening locally, if you'll let me know, I'll be glad to mention it and even see about participating. But I don't think I'm going to be able to do that this Saturday. Day of mourning, and like I say, the focal point is going to be Albany, New York. All right, let's do celebrity birthdays. We haven't done that yet. By the way, it's a big day for you to be born if you're a celebrity. I think this is the most celebrity birthdays I know that I've had in a couple of years. So we're going to go through them pretty quick. But if you're having a birthday today, you're a celebrity on your birthday, and we say this to you.
Birthday.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you share a birthday with William Prescott, who was born in 1726. He's the guy that said, "Don't shoot till you see the whites of their eyes." Gail Gordon was born in 1906, Mr. Mooney on the I Love Lucy, or the Lucy Show, rather. Sidney Poitier is 92 today. Gloria Vanderbilt is 95. Amanda Blake was born in 1929. Bobby Unser turns 85 today. Sandy Duncan is 73. John Giles of the J. Giles Band was born in 1946. Jennifer O'Neill, oh, wow, she is 71 today. Ivana Trump is 70. Patty Hearst, 65. Charles Barkley, Sir Charles, is 56 years old today. Cindy Crawford turns 53. And Kurt Cobain was born today in 1967. Wow, a lot of celebrity birthdays today. So you got a big crop of celebrity friends here. If you're having a birthday, so tell all the people. Hey, tell all these people that that if you're having a birthday, look at all these people that I was born with. It's a ton of them. All right, Ken wants to talk about the day of mourning. Hey, Ken.
Yeah. Good morning.
Hey,
Tony. Maybe I guess we just missed messages there about 2 weeks ago. I called you and told you that I was glad that there wasn't an abortion clinic on every corner in South Carolina, Columbia, in 1955.
Yeah, but, I remember that.
I mentioned the day of mourning. I remember I'd found out about it about 2 weeks ago. You asked me the website, and it was dayofmourning.org.
Okay.
And
well, I'm sorry, so, Ken. Just too dense to pick it up, I guess.
Don't apologize. I just wanted to also state that it's time, Christians, that I've actually got some shirts planned. Silence No More is going to be on a black shirt, and it's also going to have a small symbol of a child in a womb. And I'm actually going to start wearing that into my church on Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
It's time that we, as Christians, I mean, look what they're contemplating is death after birth. And actually, the Right to Life march that took place, what, maybe a month, month and a half ago?
Yeah.
I looked around. There was not one organized march, unless it took place somewhere out of my viewpoint. And I keep up with stuff pretty good. And
well, South Carolina Citizens for Life, Ken, has the Right to Life march every year in Columbia. I mean, there were probably 1,000 people there this year.
Yeah,
it's before the national.
Yeah, it's before the national.
I guess I'm speaking in mass. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I guess I'm speaking in Greenville, in Asheville, in McDowell County. We're the buckle on the Bible Belt between here and Texas.
Yeah,
and the continued silence about what the increased pressure to murder children in the womb, outside the womb, late term, and everything. It's but that's what I'm going to do in my church. I was a voice a couple of years ago and went to a business meeting and talked to them about voting for Christian principles. I was promptly handed my head back to me on a basket in a meeting and was told, as I sang, to be sure and not go into politics. Well, politics means the governing of the people, if you look up the definition of politics. And I, for one, am ashamed to see here in the southern states, in North Carolina, South Carolina, the absolute sitting on our posteriors while children are being murdered in the womb. Tony, you've been a great listener this morning. I hope you have a good day.
Well, thanks, Ken. As you hang up, let me just say this to you. I think you're being a little bit hard on people in South Carolina. I mean, we're not silent. Now, maybe we're not yelling as loud as we should, but I'm part of a group called One Message that represents a whole lot of people. The Catholic Diocese in South Carolina represents this radio program and all of the listeners here.
And I'm aware of that. I'm aware of what your stand is, and you're very outspoken as Christians. We should organize more. We really should.
I'm telling you about organizations that you need to know about and get out and get involved in. South Carolina Citizens for Life. And we had the Proudly Pro-Life Weekend in Columbia. I talked about that. We had the national director of the National Right to Life come and speak. We had a ton of people at the banquet Friday night in Columbia, and then about 1,000 people showed up for the march on Saturday in Columbia. And you said, well, there's nothing around here. But see, that's the statewide state march for life. It's been going on for, gosh, I don't know. I've been involved in it for 20, 25 years.
Right, and they do it in Columbia because
that's the middle of the state. People come from Charleston. They come from Greenville. They come from all over.
That's where the legislators are. We've got a heartbeat bill. We've got a personhood bill all up in the legislature.
Yeah.
So that rally is there in Columbia for a reason. It's not that we picked it just out of a hat. There's a reason it's there.
So just, I'm not fussing, Ken, because you made me aware of the day of mourning, and I didn't know about it. Now, that's in Albany, New York. It's a specific rally. I don't see anything here about them calling for a national day. And look, churches, pastors, we can all do more. But I'm going to a meeting of pastors next week in Columbia that are very concerned about pro-life issues and a lot of issues going on socially in our state. So I guess what I'm saying is we can all do more. We sure need as many voices as we can get to the table. But I don't want to leave the impression that nothing's being done. Tanya Shelnut, I mean, I just saw her on Facebook. I mean, the work that she's doing with ADF here in South Carolina and helping bring awareness and helping churches to be better prepared for a lot of the things that are coming our way in terms of forces that would like to silence us, but also encouraging us to get out and be proactive and be very loud in our voice and our pro-life voice. So be encouraged, I guess,
and
is what I'm saying.
You've been a great listener. If I could have a closing remark, my point, I guess, should be the most important point I have is from the church, where the fight and the voices should be the loudest, where they are, it was no politics, don't talk about abortion, don't talk, no, let's don't go there, because a lot of people are Democratic voters, and they don't want to hear that in our church. From there to the street in our local neighborhoods, including the Baptist Association, both in and the Southern Baptist Association, there is not the organization that should be coming from the churches, simply because there's a fear in the churches, and you've talked about this before, that if you bring up politics to the church, there'll be so many people flying out the door like scattered doves. Well, that would be my point, is that if we as Christians had wanted to put people in the places for the last 20 to 30 years to stop abortion, it would, you know, or severely limit it, except, you know, in the life of the mother or the child. But there is not a march. There was not a march in Greenville. There was not a march in Asheville. There was not a march locally. I'm in McDowell County. Very, very conservative Christian, but you can't get them to organize because there's so many Democratic Christians sitting in the pews who say it's the choice of the mother. Now, those may be harmful and hurtful facts, but those are the facts. You've been a great listener, and thanks for letting me get my voice in today, Tony. God bless you.
Well, God bless you, Ken. I don't know how to respond. I mean, I don't know. They're harmful facts. Look, we'll take a break. I'll come back and I'll address some of this. 888-660-9535. Stay with us.
And here's our host, Dr. Tony B.
Look, let me see if I can sort of it. And Ken, if you're still listening, I hope you are. This is not any reflection on you. I'm just trying to get a little bit of perspective here. McDowell County, that's North Carolina, right? So I think that that's where some of the confusion was coming in, because he mentioned Asheville. There wasn't a march in Asheville or in Greenville or in, you know, the way we've, for the last decade, several decades, we've been really encouraging people to come to the Right to Life rally in Columbia. And, I mean, that's why there aren't local marches organized, primarily because the focus has been on getting people to come to the state house, where the biggest impact can be, and having, you know, everybody come there. So that's a that's just that consideration. The fact that are there people who are being too quiet about pro-life issues? There are. I mean, it would be good if there was more, but I can tell you in South Carolina, the Baptist associations that I know, and I'm pretty plugged in with, you know, the Three Rivers Baptist Association, the Randy Bradley there, and Al Phillips in the Greenville Baptist Association, and Paul McGee over in Spartanburg, and just, I mean, I could go on. I'll leave somebody out if I keep going too long here, but my point being that South Carolina Baptists are pretty plugged in, and we've actually got a representative, Joe Mack, who is under contract with the South Carolina Baptist Convention and kind of keeps watch over the state house and works with other pro-life, pro-family groups to make sure that the House and the Senate in South Carolina are considering good pro-life legislation every year. So that's I think in South Carolina, we need more encouragement. In other words, we can bemoan the fact that there aren't more people in churches and that there are some churches that refuse to engage. But I think the way to get more engagement is to be very proactive, supportive, encouraging, and sort of doing a springboard off of the things that are already happening. And I apologize that I totally missed. I remember the call when Ken called before, but I just missed the day of mourning. Either I missed it or I thought that it was a national event and that there weren't local events that were supposed to be tied to it. And that, according to the website here, I mean, this is you know, this is pretty much, let's see here.
Well, there are some cities that are doing. Charlotte, Greensboro, I know we're doing things. A city over in Georgia that's doing some stuff. But it's kind of, you know, across the country, it's kind of, it's hit and miss. There are some places that are, some places that aren't.
Well, yeah, this would have been a great thing.
And a lot of them, like I said, they're rebroadcasting what's going on in New York. A lot of them are doing a live stream, and they're, you know, which is good.
Okay, I'm found a local events page here. So you've got an event in Charlotte, Greensboro. Mm-hmm. It looks like are the two closest events to us.
Yep. Might be one in Georgia.
See, there's not one listed here in Georgia.
Okay.
I just see different Oregon, New York, Illinois, California, Pennsylvania, right. Wisconsin, Tennessee, Texas, and Colorado. That's the states that I see listed.
So Charlotte probably the closest. If you do that,
as far as I can see listed on the website,
right?
There's one, and let's see the Charlotte one. I would imagine you can click on it and bring it up. This thing's great, folks. Live radio. I mean, you just get to do things while we're doing a radio program. Yeah, it's a Facebook page. And their Charlotte, North Carolina service hosted by Day of Mourning Charlotte, North Carolina. It's going to be from 12:30 to 4. Steel Creek Church of Charlotte. That's mm-hmm. what it looks like.
Right.
It says you can see the map here. Oh, well.
And they'll be showing what's going on in New York because that's going on from 1 to 4. So they're starting 30 minutes early, getting people in, and then they're going to join what's happening in New York right there in that congregation and that gathering.
Well, that's interesting because Steel Creek Church is not far from where my sister lived in Charlotte.
Let me just say something for Ken because obviously Ken's got a passion for this, and that is what's great.
Good thing.
If you have that passion, you need to follow that. Several things that he can do, you know, there's crisis pregnancy centers around. You need to find those, get involved in those. Those people are on the front lines day after day. And Ken, they'd love to have your help or someone else's help. Maybe you can get involved in that. Ken, if you want to do a march somewhere in Western North Carolina or something, you might want to attend one of the other marches like the one in Columbia or even the national one in Washington and talk to some of the people. How'd you get that organized? How'd you get that started? Find out how they did it and then try to take that information back so you can reduplicate it there in your area. It's not easy to do. And one of the things that people don't understand about the pro-life movement is this has been going on a long time. And unfortunately, when you do something that has to take time and day after day, some people fall by the wayside. Either they just, you know, it's not like it's front page news all the time until something like what happened in New York or Virginia comes up. And if it's not, then people are involved in other things that are happening and they don't always, you know, they don't always look at the fact that the pro-life movement is going on every single day. So you just have to get in there, get involved, and find out what God would have you do. And there are places where you can serve, places where you can do that. Use that passion he's got and put it to work because there's a lot of people out there that are doing it. You just got to find them and get involved with them. They'll be there. It's not like every church can do this every single day. I know that's what he wants. He wants to see, I think, more of that, and that's great. I think a lot of our churches would like to see our churches take more of a stand. But
well, and I know
a lot of
people,
things going on.
Yeah, well, and I know a lot of people in Southern Baptist churches, for example. I preached at Destiny on the Right to Life Sunday. Mm-hmm. The Southern Baptist Convention puts out Right to Life. A Bible study lesson for Right to Life Sunday, and then a lot of pastors speak about abortion and speak out for life on that day. I talked to several pastors who had done that and participated. So I just think again, you're exactly right. Crisis pregnancy centers, so many ways to get yourself involved personally, and then go out and get other people involved. If there's not enough people involved, it's the old adage, let it start with you, and then let your influence spread to the people that you have influence with and keep moving down the list. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll come back with our caller, 888-660-9535. Stay with us.
Here's your host, Dr. Tony Bean.
All right, Lisa Van Riper's on the phone. Lisa, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you, Tony. I just had a suggestion for those in North Carolina. There is a chapter of North Carolina Citizens for Life in North Carolina. They can probably just Google North Carolina Citizens for Life, and that is the local legislative chapter for the National Right to Life Committee. So that's an option if they're interested in knowing where politicians stand on this subject or learning how to do a rally or those kinds of things. They also can go to the National Right to Life website, that just Google National Right to Life, and there's a great section of educational materials there that can just be downloaded or read online, and that will also enable them to sign up for the National Right to Life digital newsletter. And if you do that, if you educate yourself, and then you help people who are in crisis pregnancies, and you stay abreast of the laws that are coming up in your state and where your politicians stand, you really can, with just a little bit of time, you can make a real difference. So I just want to encourage those folks in North Carolina to take advantage of those resources.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Lisa. I appreciate that. That's good information for folks that may be in our sister state. And, of course, I'm sure there's a National Right to Life chapter probably in Georgia. And just the states around us, there's a way to get involved. We need more participation from churches. We need more voices being raised in the pro-life community, no question. But there are, I mean, I don't want people to think or to be left with the impression that those voices don't exist, because there's a lot of them out there, and it's just a matter of finding them and get involved. What about the day of mourning? Did you know about that taking place in Albany?
No, I did not know about that. I'm just connecting with the radio station this morning because I don't have a radio in my house right now. But I missed that segment. But I can definitely say if they're mourning over what New York has done, that's a good thing to do.
Oh yeah, that's what they're talking about. They're encouraging people. They're going to have a rally in Albany this Saturday, and apparently there's a venue in Charlotte and one in Greensboro, a church that's plugged in, churches that have plugged into that, and they're going to rebroadcast. The Benham Brothers are speaking, and then they've got a host of other speakers that are going to be taking place, and then they're asking people to wear black and refuse to shop on that day to try to have an economic impact and just make the statement that this, you know, what's happened in New York with this new legislation is something that there very many people are upset about and want to protect the life of these children.
Well, that, I think that's exactly where we need to be, Tony, as a country. You know, we're to call a holy assembly according to the Bible. We're to call a holy assembly, and we're to repent. And so I think that's exactly the model that we're using. And we had a rally, as you know, in South Carolina earlier in January.
Yep.
And we always, the reason we have it is to call attention to the fact that we are losing children. We're losing two children every minute in this country to abortion. And most of that is abortion on demand for social and economic reasons. And women, and of course children are dying, but women are being injured also. So we have that once a year, basically a National Day of Mourning every year in South Carolina. And I would just encourage everybody in South Carolina to go to South Carolina Citizens for Life website, get some information. Also support the Piedmont Women's Center here and other pro-life organizations if you're in the Greenville area, and the Carolina Pregnancy Center if you're over in the Spartanburg area. Those are things that are easy to get involved with. And I will tell you, you know, 30 minutes of your time a week just paying attention, educating yourself, giving some time, an average of 30 minutes a week could change America on this.
Yeah. Thanks, Lisa. Appreciate the call. Always good to talk to you. Good advice on how to be proactive in the pro-life movement. A lot of opportunities in South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia. Just use your computer, look them up, and get involved. All right, I got a Freddie on Facebook. let me explain something. When I'm actually doing the show, it's hard for me to read the Facebook. I'm going to try to get my phone engaged so maybe I can see the comments better, but I have to actually get my face up here close to the Facebook page. But if you got the hump day thing over there, can you play that little thing right quick? Because I know it doesn't take but a second.
I can't right now because something else is going.
Okay, all right. Well, Freddie just asked, you know, come on, Tony, what day is it? I know you can hear me. I know you can see. And I just totally missed that because I can't see that on the Facebook page on the iPad here very well. But anyway, yes, it's hump day, and that is still one of my favorite commercials. I'm glad Geico decided to bring it back, at least for a little while.
Guess
all right.
What day it is.
There it is. It's hump day. Have a great hump day, and join us again tomorrow. It'll be a Thursday. We'll be on the eve of the weekend, the eve of Backpatting Day. So don't miss it.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or iHeartMedia.